We're turning this evening to 1 Peter chapter 5, please. So 1 Peter chapter 5, the elders which are among you I exhort, who am also an elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind. Neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being ensamples to the flock. When the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be in subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud, and giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. The God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. And we trust the Lord will bless the reading of his word to our hearts. We'll end there at verse 11. Let's just look again to the Lord in a brief word of prayer. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we rejoice that there is one, the blessed Jesus. We thank you that he is the friend of sinners. And when, O God, the waves of trouble roll, we thank the Lord that Christ is in the vessel. We are his, and he will take care of us. And so, Lord, I look to thee now. I pray that thou would, Lord, cleanse me in the Redeemer's blood. Thou would settle my heart and direct my thoughts and fill my mouth to say what thou would have me to say. We thank the Lord that thou hast given a word. We thank the Lord that you have given a word for your people tonight. We're assured of that. And we pray, O God, be a blessing, O God, to all who will hear. So, Lord, shut out distractions and shut us in with thyself. And help us, Lord, as we look to thee. For this we pray in Jesus, his worthy and his precious name. Amen. Frank Gaff was an American preacher and hymn writer, and he lived from 1860 to 1919. And he was a man who was known for his positive attitude and cheery disposition, so much so that he was eventually given the nickname the Sunshine Minister. Now, one might think of such an individual that had such a cheery disposition that he had a problem-free life, but in fact, the contrary was actually true. He faced many, many, many problems. They were severe, and his burdens, they were often heavy. During one period in his life, Mr. Graff was experiencing some serious physical issues. And even as a pastor, he began to doubt the reality of God's presence in his suffering. He needed some real encouragement and strength, and so he turned to the Scripture, and in providence, he turned to 1 Peter chapter 5. As he was reading down through that portion, he came to the words of verse 7, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. And as he meditated afresh upon those words that he had read many, many times, well, he found the assurance and the encouragement that he was looking for, and it moved him to pick up his pen and to put it to paper and to write these words. Does Jesus care when my heart is pained too deeply for mirth or song, and the burdens press and the cares distress, and the way grows weary and long? And in the light of 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7, he was able to answer his own question with these words: oh yes, he cares. I know he cares. His heart is touched with my grief when the days are weary. and the long nights dreary, I know my Savior cares. Now the Apostle Peter, he is writing to Christians who have been scattered throughout particular regions, and many believe that this is because of persecution. After the martyrdom of Stephen, the believers, they were dispersed, as we read in Acts chapter 8 and verse 1. And while this would have not been what they would have wanted, it was in the sovereign will of God, and by it the gospel was also dispersed. Now imagine if you could only pack up what you could carry and take it to another land, another region, another part of the world, as many still do today. Well, it would bring with it a particular set of worries and cares. Imagine if you had a little family and you're under persecution and opposition, and you could only pack a little bundle of things into a case or a bag and take it with you. Well, that would bring upon you a number of worries and a number of cares. Add to that the fact that the Christians, they were hated by the Jews, they were viewed with suspicion by the Romans, and these people, they had heavy burdens to bear. They had many cares. And so Peter writes to encourage them and to instruct them. And as a good under-shepherd, he has a concern for the welfare of the flock of God. And he impresses that responsibility upon his fellow elders, a responsibility to pastor God's people at the beginning of chapter 5. And that pastoring is chiefly done by expounding the word, by feeding them on Christ, his humiliation and his exaltation, as we see there in verse number 1, as Peter speaks about the sufferings and then the glory that shall be revealed. But Peter goes on to address all believers from the middle of verse 5 towards the end of this epistle as he draws to a close, and he gives them a number of exhortations. And each one of those exhortations would be worthy in themselves to consider. But the Lord has directed my heart, as I said, to this verse, verse 7. Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. It is believed by many commentators that Peter was actually quoting from Psalm 55, 22, which says, cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee, he shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. For my message this evening, I have entitled it, He Cares About My Cares. He cares about my cares. And I want to bring three things to your attention, the word being slightly shorter this evening. First, I want you to notice the cares of the Christian. The cares of the Christian. See, these words in verse 7, they follow on from the exhortation in verse 6 to humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God. And this means that you and I were to adopt that attitude that willingly accepts and acknowledges the sovereignty of God in our lives in every situation and circumstance. Now, as with these people to whom Peter is writing, we know that the sovereign purposes of God do not exempt us from trouble and trial, from care and concern. But we have in verse 7 how we are to deal with such things. And our text here, verse 7, it really does presuppose that in this world we are going to have burdens to bear. Now there are two different Greek words in this text translated in verse 7. One is a noun, care, and the other is a verb, careth. And they come from two different root words. Now we're thinking under this first point, the cares of the Christian, about the word care. Now associated English words, casting all your care, associated English words would be worry or anxiety. And it's a word that literally means to divide or to draw in different directions, to be pulled apart. And you know, this is often what happens to us. Our minds and our emotions get pulled all over the place because of particular circumstances. Now, there was a study carried out to trace every mention of worry or anxiety or care in the New Testament. And the conclusion that was reached that really you could classify those things under three categories. And I'm going to give them to you. Firstly, there are what we might call the cares of this world. Material care. Now, these are cares that Christ addresses in Matthew chapter 6 in the Sermon on the Mount, especially when he draws near the end of that chapter, verse 25 and onwards. You know what he's teaching there about the birds of the air and the flowers of the field. And so he's addressing the cares of this world, material cares. In Matthew chapter 13, that great chapter of the parables, he goes on and speaks about the sower, giving the explanation in verse 22. And he says this, "Here he also that receiveth seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful." Now these are very real and legitimate cares. They are cares that pertain to the essentials of life, like the clothes we wear, the food we eat, the home that we live in. They all come under this category of material care. It can be extended out to include your job, finances, paying the bills. And in these days, we all know about the cost of living crisis, and it's a very real care for people. So that's one category, material cares. But then there are those things that we could group under the heading relational cares. The Apostle Paul, he makes reference to those cares in 1 Corinthians chapter 7. If you want to turn there, these are relational cares. 1 Corinthians chapter 7, and we'll go to verse 32. 1 Corinthians 7, verse 32, and it says this here, "But I would have you without carefulness. He that is unmarried careth for the things that belong to the Lord, how he may please the Lord. But he that is married careth for the things that are of the world, how he may please his wife." There's a difference also between a wife and a virgin. The unmarried woman careth for the things of the Lord, that she may be holy both in body and in spirit. But she that is married careth for the things of the world, how she may please her husband. Now, Paul here is not speaking against marriage, not at all. But he is pointing out that with marriage, there comes responsibilities, there comes cares, there comes burdens. And the same is true for children. There comes responsibility, there comes care, there comes burden. There are those who are dependent upon us, and therefore, their needs become our cares. So there are these material needs. Our cares. There are these relational cares when we think about our relationships, the one to the other. And Paul's given an example here, the marriage relationship, the husband, the wife, the mother, the father, and the children. These are legitimate cares that we have. And then the third group, they are spiritual cares. Now these are the cares that come upon us because of our Christian profession. And this is a wide-ranging category. There can be the care that comes upon us because of persecution or opposition or oppression, because of what the child of God believes. That's a care, that's an anxiety, that's a worry that wouldn't come upon us except we were Christians. There are cares of the spiritual conditions of our loved ones. And what a burden that is to the soul. We think about those who are unsaved. That's a spiritual care we have. There's a care of our own spiritual growth, our own holiness, our own sanctification. That's a worry to people. There's a care that comes upon us because of our service for Christ. Paul spoke of the care that he had of all the churches. There is the care of the spiritual state of our nation. The worry, the anxiety that all that brings because we are the children of God. So we can see that there are varied cares and a multiplicity of them that come upon the child of God. There's much to make us anxious. There's much that pulls us on every side. And at times we almost feel like we're going to fall apart. I wonder, is that how you feel tonight? maybe material cares, relational cares, and spiritual cares, no doubt, and they're all pulling on you. See, this verse, it presupposes that we will have cares, but it does tell us what we are to do with it. And that leads me on to my second point this evening, the command to the Christian. Not only the cares of the Christian, but the command to the Christian. Here, we are commanded what we are to do with our care. We are to cast them upon the Lord. We are to do with our cares what we have done with our sins. He is the great sin bearer, but He's also the great care bearer. It was Spurgeon who said this, "Thy burden, or what God lays upon you, you lay it upon the Lord. His wisdom cast it on you. It is your wisdom to cast it back on the Lord." Now this word casting, it's only used here and in one other place in the New Testament. It means to throw upon. And the literal picture of that word is seen in the other reference in Luke chapter 19 and the verse 35. It's the account of the disciples bringing the colt to the Lord Jesus. And we read there, "And they brought him to Jesus, and they cast," there's the word, "their garment upon the colt, and they set Jesus thereon." So their coat, maybe they were wearing it, maybe they were carrying it. We could say it was at least a weight to them, a burden to them. But they took it and they cast it upon another, upon that little colt. Now, how are we to do this with our care? How do we cast our care? Well, you know the answer. It's through prayer. And prayer is the unburdening of the soul to God. It's the casting of our cares upon Him. You see, by an act of faith, we look to Him and we tell Him of this and that that causes us anxiety. That's what you and I are to do. We are to roll our burden upon Him. And we're to commit it to Him. Now, the thing is, God already knows about our care. It's not that we're telling Him something that He does not know. Though many cares and anxieties may be hidden and unseen by one another amongst us here, doesn't a smile hide it all? Yet nothing is hidden or unseen by Him. The grammatical voice of this word casting, it's active. And that means that you and I, we must make an active, conscious choice to cast our burden upon the Lord. This is something we must do. Yes, the Lord knows about our care. He's omniscient. There's nothing hidden from Him. There's nothing disclosed from Him. Yet this is something that we must consciously do. Sometimes we may not tell someone what care we have because, well, we don't want to burden. But the Lord wants us to cast our care upon Him. And all our care at that. Now, since we have an exhortation here to do this, it shows the willingness of God to hear when we pray. We might be inclined to think, well, He's only interested when we pray about our spiritual care. But the verse says, casting all your care, material, relational, and spiritual. We're not to think that there's anything too small for Him to care about. We're not to think of that there's anything too large for Him to help with. Going down to the open air on Friday. Well, you can park in one of the car parks if you want to pay money, but I don't. Ballymena's rubbing off on me. But as I'm driving down there, it's a little care. I need to know where I'm going to park. I have the equipment. So what I do, it's a care. I just say, "Lord, provide me with a space." And I might have to loop around a few times, but I always get a space. And that's how we should treat our God. We shouldn't think that anything is beneath Him. A material care, a relational care, a spiritual care. He wants to know all our cares, casting all your care upon him. You know, Hannah's a great illustration in the scripture. She had a longing, she had a care, she had an anxiety to have a son. This was the case for every Jewish woman. This was a concern that she had. What did she do with her concern? She went to the temple and she prayed. She took her burden to the Lord. Do you know the implication that comes across in this verse is this? We will not lose our care if with him we do not share. We will not lose our care, our anxiety, our worry, if with him we do not share. And so God, he wants you, the Lord wants you to cast all your care upon him. Paul, in an epistle to the Philippians, what does he tell him? Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Alicia Hoffman, the writer of the hymn, I Must Tell Jesus, he tells a story that preceded the penning of those words. This is what he says. There was a woman to whom God permitted many visitations of sorrow and affliction. Coming to her home one day, I found her much discouraged. She unburdened her heart, concluding with the question, Brother Hoffman, what shall I do? I quoted from the Word. It was believed to be 1 Peter 5, verse 7. Then added, you cannot do better than to take all your sorrows to Jesus. You must tell Jesus. For a moment she seemed lost in meditation. And then her eyes, they lit up and she exclaimed, yes, I must tell Jesus. He says, as I left her home, I had a vision of that joy illuminated face and heard all along my pathway home the echo of her words, I must tell Jesus, I must tell Jesus. And from that encounter, he penned the words, I must tell Jesus. All of my trials, I cannot bear these burdens alone. In my distress, he kindly will help me. He ever loves and cares for his own. I must tell Jesus. I must tell Jesus. I cannot bear my burdens alone. I must tell Jesus. I must tell Jesus. Jesus can help me. Jesus alone. He cares for my cares. So the cares of the Christian, the command to the Christian, finally this evening, the comfort for the Christian. Well, the comfort's found in the last words of this verse, for he careth for you. Now this word careth, it has the idea of interest in or concern for. And as I said in my title, he cares for my cares. Yes, God is transcendent. He's above all his creation, yet he condescends to regard the needs of the lowliest of his creatures. Not a sparrow falls on the ground without him knowing. He hears the cries of the young ravens for their food, and are you and I not of more value than many sparrows? Do we live in a world that is, it's often impersonal. Many may not even know the name of their neighbor. And we can order things online, get it delivered, without ever meeting anyone or interacting with anyone. But I want to tell you tonight something you already know. But it's good to hear again, he careth for you. For you tonight. I speak, yes, collectively to a gathering of people. But the Lord is speaking personally to you. And any who have that little flick calendar will know that Elisha Hoffman's hymn was at the bottom of it today. And so this is God's word for you. He cares for you. He has an interest in and a concern for you. He knows you by name. He has numbered the hairs upon your head. He knows all about your specific temptations. As we're told in 1 Corinthians 10:11, He knows all about you and He's a care in you. We have an adversary who's no care for us, no concern for us. We read there in verse 8, He is one who has a roaring lion. He walketh about seeking whom he may devour. And what is it that he often roars at us? Especially when care comes upon us and the burden is heavy. What makes up the volume of his roar? God doesn't care for you. You see, the devil comes with that devilish if that he came to the Lord Jesus with. If God cared for you, if God had an interest in you, if God truly had a concern, why? Why? And we doubt, don't we? We begin to doubt. The old man, just as Eve and Adam listened to the temptation, still there. Didn't the disciples, the storm in Galilee, didn't they doubt? When the winds were howling and the waves were breaking over them, and they came to Christ in the back of the vessel as he was asleep, and they woke him, and they said, Master, carest thou not that we perish? The same word, do you not care? But he did. He cared for them more than anyone else did, would or could. And we can resist the old devil and the roar of the lion, just as Christ did, by effectively saying, it is written, He careth for me. Now, this is not some baseless mantra that we simply repeat over and over to ourselves, and by the power of positive thinking, free ourselves from anxiety, worry, or care that we might have. Rather, this is an expression of a truth, of a reality. He does care for us. And how do we know that? Well, you know the answer. We go again to the foot of the cross. Isn't that how we know that our God cares for us? But God commendeth His love toward us. He demonstrates His love, His care, His interest, His concern toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He bore the burden of our sin. He already dealt with our greatest need. Therefore, when we bring to Him our material, our relational, and our spiritual care, He will not be indifferent to us, but with tender heart, attentive ear, and gracious hand, He will give us what we need. This verb, He careth, it's in the present tense. God, He continually cares for us. He had a deep interest from all eternity. It was manifested in the past at the cross. It continues to the present, and it will carry on into the countless ages of eternity. There never was, never is, and never will be a time when God does not care for you. Now you might think, you might say, well, Mr. Stewart, that's as good as far as it goes. I have someone who I know cares for me. And I know that there is someone who I can talk to and pray to about my cares. But what about my care? What happens to that? How are these cares and anxieties and worries eased and calmed? Well, you see, for all your care, there is a supply of all His grace. Look at verse 10. We have a title of our God. But the God of all grace. For all your care, there is a supply of all His grace. In Him, there is serving grace. In Him, there is sorrowing grace. In Him, there is succoring grace. In Him, there is standing grace. Whatever grace you need, God has it. Whether that's strength to bear, or patience to wait, or wisdom to solve, or courage to face, or prudence to provide, God has the grace for us. Our God is the God of all grace. And it's good to know that He cares about my care. Edward Joy was another man who was moved to put pen to paper when he was considering this hymn in 1 Peter 5, verse 7. And he wrote the words, "Is there a heart o'erbound by sorrow? Is there a life weighed down by care? Come to the cross, each burden bearing, all your anxiety, leave it there. All your anxiety, all your care, bring to the mercy seat, leave it there. Never a burden He cannot bear. Never a friend like Jesus." It's good to be reminded of this glorious truth. And this wonderful verse, "Casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you." I know there's cares upon the hearts of God's people. There's heavy burdens. And you have anxiety and worry. And we all do. But here we have in this text what we are to do with it. To call upon the Lord. To roll it on to Him. Because He's the one who cares for us. And I trust the Lord will bless His word to your heart, and you will take that as a word from Him to your soul, and just even pillow your head upon that verse today, tonight, in the days to come. You have a God that cares for you, the God of all grace, for all your care.